I often tell people that we can't be dogmatic about what God is doing in our lives when storms come, because the fact is, God's ways aren't our ways, and He likely has purposes that we'll never fully understand this side of heaven. But having said that, I can point to so many good things that came out of that terrible time in our lives and ways that we grew. And so I really like to challenge people. Some things are too painful to waste.
Dr. Adam Dooley is the lead pastor of the Sunnyvale First Baptist Church in Sunnyvale, Texas, and also host of Better Way Radio that's heard on Bot Radio Network, AM 640, and FM 100.7 Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Today, it's our pleasure to welcome Pastor Dooley to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Byron. Glad to be with you today.
Originally, you're from Kentucky, I believe. What part?
My hometown is Berea, Kentucky, right up I-75.
What do you remember most about home?
I lived there all of my childhood and had a great home church, great school that I was part of. All my family is there, so that was a special time. I actually got to pastor there in my hometown before moving out of the state, and those are memories that will stay with us for the rest of our lives.
How about the most mischievous thing you ever did growing up?
Well, there's so many, that's hard to narrow down, but probably one of the favorite stories my family likes to tell on me is that my grandfather used to have a hand drill, and so I would drill everything I could get my hands on with that drill, including car tires, boat tires. I put a hole in several coolers. We lost a lot of minnows over that over the years, so I was a typical kid for sure.
Growing up in Kentucky, you mentioned about letting minnows go. I guess you spent a lot of time on the lake, too.
Yeah, you know, Berea is close to Lake Cumberland, and we spent a lot of time there. I actually met my wife, who is from Somerset, Kentucky, and we spent a lot of time there while we were dating also. So that was definitely a big part of our lives.
Did you ever have any other dreams or career goals in life before being called into the ministry?
Yeah, I absolutely did. In fact, if you had asked me as a teenager what I wanted to do with my life, ministry wouldn't have even made the list. My goal was to attend the University of Kentucky and become a pharmacist, of all things, and I made plans to do that right up through my senior year of high school.
So that was when the turning point was for you in high school?
Yeah, when I was between my junior and senior year of high school, I got really involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and as a result of that, we attended a leadership camp in St. Simons, Georgia. In order to do that, we visited several churches around my hometown and basically asked for their financial support to send us to that camp. So as a result, when we came back, we returned to those churches, and we shared about our experience. Because I was the leader of our group, I had the formal speaking part of the program, and people started noticing that my presentations were very sermonic. So much so that after we finished going to all of those churches, several of them called me back later and would ask me to fill in for the pastor when he was away. My senior year of high school, I preached 33 Sundays that year.
33?
So, 33, and all the while I was saying, you know, God's not calling me to ministry. I enjoy doing this. I don't mind speaking in front of people, but I'm going to go be a pharmacist and enjoy the rest of my life. And it all came to a head when, at the end of my senior year of high school, I preached the baccalaureate service for my entire high school. And I'll never forget this. My sermon was from James chapter 4. And the end of that chapter is where James says that your life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time. It vanishes away. Basically, he ends and says, if we know to do good and we don't do it, it is sin. And so as I explained that to my peers, the thrust of my message was we all have one life. It's very brief, and we ought to give it to the Lord or we are wasting our lives. really unlike any other time in a message that I've shared. I felt personally convicted while I was preaching that message. And so as an 18-year-old kid, I walked off the platform when I was finished, sat down on the front pew, and just bowed my head and said, "Lord, if you want me to preach, I will do that. I don't fully know what that means or how to do that, but I will." That's where it all started. Within a couple of weeks, withdrew from the University of Kentucky and enrolled in Bible college.
So interesting, because so many at that age, or and even beyond, are still trying to figure out what their call of life should be, what career mold, not just because you were a good public speaker. I mean, there was something deeper, and I think you just alluded to that through this verse, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and really convicting and confirming in your own heart, "God, this is where I want to start with you."
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And it was about a year-long process. I had a lot of people encouraging me to consider what God wanted to do in my life. I had a great home church, a dynamic young pastor who was a wonderful preacher. And so that was helpful, because I could see myself in him. And so it wasn't too much of a reach for me to imagine myself preaching. But there aren't any pastors in my family, and so I really didn't know anything about it or what it would take. I didn't even know seminary existed at that point.
Well, what kind of work did your dad do?
My dad works in a factory there in Berea. They build forklifts. We were just a middle-class family growing up. He worked hard and was tired a lot, only got a few weeks vacation every year. So that's really why I wanted to be a pharmacist, because in my mind at that time, that was a way that I could make more money. That's what life was about to me at that point. And I'm really thankful, looking back, that God showed me that there's a much better way to live your life, because I can't imagine not doing what I'm doing now. It's a wonderful gift when you look back over your life and you think, man, I almost stepped outside of God's best for me. Now I love what I do and love serving the church, and I'm thankful that I get to share the word every week.
Now, I noticed, Adam, that you earned your Bachelor of Arts in Ministry from Clear Creek Baptist Bible College there in Pineville, Kentucky. Back in the mid-1990s, my family served with a mission organization on Guam. We attended the Marianas Baptist Church on the island, pastored by another Kentucky native and Clear Creek graduate, Dr. Tony Smith. Tony was my dive buddy, and he's been pastoring back in Kentucky now, I understand.
Yeah, Clear Creek is a small school in southeastern Kentucky, and my connection there, my pastor is an alumnus of Clear Creek. And so when I decided that, yes, God had called me to ministry, and I yielded to that calling, I went to him and said, "What do I do? How do I prepare?" And he took me down, and I visited, and it seemed like it was the natural step in my calling. And so I went there. I'm so glad that I did, because even though I didn't know seminary was an option at that time, it prepared me for seminary like I don't think any other school could have.
Well, you mentioned a moment ago your wife, Heather. What were the circumstances surrounding on just how you met her?
Well, I love to tell the story of how I met Heather, because I actually met her in her church. I was the guest revival preacher. That was back in the days when you would have those Sunday through Friday revivals. I'll never forget that day, because she was late to church, and she wasn't there when the service began. So here I was preaching for my friend in a little small Baptist church, and when it came time to step to the podium and preach, I turned around, and immediately I saw her, and I completely lost my train of thought. I don't know that that's happened to me since then. I was completely captivated by her. I was having a conversation with myself while preaching. I've got to meet this young lady, whoever she is. We talked that entire week, went on our first date a week later. I like to tell people she's the best love offering that I ever got from the church.
I love it.
And, we've been married for just over 14 years now.
Well, you've pastored, as you mentioned, in Kentucky, also Tennessee and Alabama. How would you rank these SEC teams from favorite to least favorite?
Well,
trick question.
I'm a diehard Kentucky fan. I know that may not play well in Memphis with Coach Calipari leaving the city, but I grew up watching Kentucky basketball and honestly haven't been much of a football fan until leaving and pastoring in some of the states that you mentioned there where football is king. But if you cut me, I'm going to bleed blue.
All right. Well, you moved to Dallas Metroplex back in 2014 in order to serve as lead pastor there at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. What have these past 3 years been like as you have accepted this call and the adjustment your family made?
Well, it's been tremendous. I just thank God every day for calling us to Texas. The past 3 years have been some of the most fruitful in my ministry. We were really ready for a change, not just ministerially, but personally, when we moved here. We love Texas. We are pastoring a great church. I'm following a man who was here for over 25 years. He and I are the best of friends, and it's really been just the ideal kind of transition that you want to see in the church. And in addition to that, there's just a ton of people here in Dallas to reach, and so the field is ripe for harvest, and God is really blessing our work here.
Did you have to buy you a pair of cowboy boots and a hat?
You know, I didn't have to buy it because my first Sunday they gave it to
me. Oh, that was great.
I actually have a pair of boots that have my initials and the state of Texas on the front of them.
That's pretty nice. Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Well, you and Heather have three sons, Carson, Brady, and Jacob, and also a daughter, Mallory. What's it like being a dad to this crew?
You know, when I look at my kids, I am just amazed that they're mine. I always wanted to be a dad, and my wife Heather is a tremendous mother. She really makes our home run smoothly. But I love being a dad. I coach their ball teams, and now having Mallory, she'll be two soon, and that's completely changed the equation. But
isn't it amazing what a little girl does? Yeah. I have three sons that are grown now, but we have our first granddaughter. Just changes your world.
It changes the dynamic. She's really the boss of the house. It's funny to watch my boys line up to do whatever she wants them to do.
So. Well, Adam, while you were pastoring in Mobile, Alabama, your family received some devastating news about your son Carson, which eventually brought you here to Memphis.
Yeah, that was really the hardest time of our lives, and you know, frankly, that's one reason we wanted to be on the air there in Memphis, because Memphis became like a second home to us. Carson was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 2 weeks shy of his fourth birthday, and so we lived there in downtown Memphis at the Ronald McDonald House for 6 weeks. And then that was followed by weekly trips to Memphis for 2.5 years. I just can't say enough good things about St. Jude Hospital, the way they cared for us and took care of our son. It was just remarkable.
Did a local church come along and support you guys?
Yeah, there are so many churches. I hesitate because I'm afraid I would leave one out, but Bellevue Baptist provided extra living space and apartment for my family as they came to see us there in Memphis. Kirby Woods ministered to us. They brought food. They brought gifts for the kids. It was just a tremendous time where the body of Christ there in Memphis rallied around us, and it really did. It felt like home because we were attached to so many congregations there. First Baptist Millington is another. I can't tell you how many times that the pastors of these churches came to see us. The gifts, the prayers, the cards that people sent, it was amazing.
I just ran into David Lovell the other day.
David is one of my dearest friends, and I've just never seen the body of Christ rally like that. And that was one of the most encouraging things to happen during what was the most discouraging time of our lives.
In 2013, Adam, you addressed the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and in that message that you delivered, you said that, and I quote, "Our life is a battleground for the glory of God." How have you seen that play out through your family dealing with Carson's cancer?
Well, we've watched that play out in so many ways. I'm ashamed to tell you that sometimes I wonder if his battle with leukemia was as much for my growth and development as it was for his. I think that we have to decide every day to die to ourselves in order to follow Christ. And the fact is, even in the ministry, sometimes we want things for for ourselves. We care more about our glory than God's. We are more determined to follow our will than God's will. And the Lord really used my son and his battle to peel all of that away. It revealed what our true motives were for ministry. I tell you, the thing I'm most thankful for, Byron, is that walking through that valley proved to me that I really believe what I preach. You learn, you study from textbooks, but when the Lord is all you have and you find out that he is all you need, that's a really reassuring thing. And so I'm thankful, and I just want to encourage people that you really can trust what the Bible says about the Lord and his comfort and the peace that he gives in the worst circumstances of life.
You know, it's so easy for us, Adam, when we go through challenging and even devastating times and discouraging times in our life. We're looking for answers. We have this fear that sometimes wells up in us. You gave a great example of just embracing the moment and discovering just how real Jesus is during the storm.
Yeah, that is so true. And I often tell people that we can't be dogmatic about what God is doing in our lives when storms come, because the fact is, God's ways aren't our ways, and he likely has purposes that we'll never fully understand this side of heaven. But having said that, I can point to so many good things that came out of that terrible time in our lives and ways that we grew. And so I really like to challenge people. Some things are too painful to waste. You have a decision to make. You can run from the Lord or you can run to the Lord. And I am thankful that by God's grace, we chose to run to the Lord, and he has proven himself to be faithful again and again in our lives.
How did your other children do when those stressful times seemed to be overwhelming?
Yeah, it was overwhelming. Of course, I only had one other son at that time. He was just about a year old. And his name is Brady. He actually learned how to walk at the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, my.
And then in the midst of Carson's 2.5 years of traveling to Memphis weekly, my wife became pregnant with our third son, Jacob. And I remember how stressful that was. We were excited. We were thankful. But we also wondered, how can we make this work? Honestly, I don't know how it all worked. We just pulled together. It was one of those things where we knew what we had to do, and we chose to do it. My sons were resilient and just, you know, really supported us. But I won't lie, it was hard to get on a plane every week and have two little boys looking back at you wondering why their older brother and their daddy were leaving every week. So,
well, how's Carson doing today?
This is my favorite part of the story to tell. He is actually doing wonderful. He finished treatment in January of 2014. Today, he's a 10-year-old fourth grader. He's just excelling in school. He plays sports. You would never know by looking at him that he ever had cancer. I'm also quite proud of the fact that he uses his story to encourage others. He is raising money for St. Jude Hospital. In fact, last year, we started the first annual Carson and Friends 5K. He is really shaping up to spend his life giving back to this place that did so much for us.
What a wonderful story, Adam. That is so great. Well, you have served in various leadership roles through the Southern Baptist denomination. What needs to be done to deter the major decline in church attendance, and not only in Southern Baptist, other churches too, but in your case, some say that equals 38% of the membership that actually shows up for Sunday morning worship?
Yeah, Byron, I think that problem is epidemic across denominations. And I think one of the problems is the way that we convince people to come to our churches in the first place. And what I mean by that is we really develop attractional models where we're saying, look what we can do for you if you come to our church. And it almost becomes a competition. We've got more than the guys down the street. If you come here, we'll do this for you. We'll do that for you. And while it's important that we minister to one another in the body of Christ, I think the better model is to lift up Christ and to point people to him and to teach, as I said earlier, that he really is all that we need. I think we need a return to a Christ-centered exaltation, and I think we need to plan what we do as a church, from our worship services to the ministries we offer, by asking what's most pleasing to the Lord rather than what will make the most people happy. I know that's counterintuitive, but I'm just banking on the fact that if he's lifted up, he'll do the drawing of people to himself. So what I want to do is make sure that he's pleased and that he's welcome in our church, because if that's the case, I know God will send the people to the church.
Well, foundational to that call is Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. And I've looked at your church website, and it seems like discipleship is a major part of the ministry there at Sunnyvale.
It really is, and that was born during Carson's sickness as well, because, quite honestly, I became frustrated with some of the agendas that we were trying to lead in the church, and it became difficult at times to lead people to do spiritual things if they weren't very spiritual. And so I got a hold of some resources, and God began working in my heart. And I came to the realization that Jesus did not tell us to make converts. He told us to make disciples. And before we can give people spiritual food, they have to be spiritually connected to the Lord. And so we really take that seriously here in Sunnyvale. It's much more of a bottom-up than a top-down approach. You know, the traditional Sure. model is to lead people from the pulpit and say, you just follow me, just do what we ask, and we'll get where we need to go. Now, obviously, I believe in a strong pulpit ministry. I wouldn't be on the radio if I didn't believe in that. But I've also found that, again, you can't give spiritual food to people who aren't actively growing in their faith. And, Byron, we have a lot of people that are attending churches faithfully, week in and week out. But we all instinctively know that we're not reading our Bibles, we're not praying, we're not sharing our faith. We're really educated beyond our obedience. And so what we try to do is put people in groups of discipleship, not to teach them new things, but to hold them accountable and make sure that our membership is growing in their faith through the basic disciplines of walking with the Lord. And I'm happy to tell you that has really changed the way we do ministry. It's just remarkable to see how God has used that.
What was your thought behind creating the radio ministry A Better Way?
Well, I'll tell you, I always thought that it'd be great to be on the radio, but I'll confess, I really didn't have a strategy to make that a reality until a couple years ago, shortly after I came here. I went to a local radio station here in Dallas, and my goal was to make a commercial for a Christmas program that we were going to be hosting. Long story short, I didn't have a script. I wasn't prepared. I just knew what I wanted to say. And I sat down behind the microphone, and the producer who was working with me was amazed that I was able to record that commercial in one take. And as a result of that, he brought his boss in, and they approached me and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about being on the radio?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'd love to, but I wouldn't know where to start." And they talked to me about that. They encouraged me to do that. They made me an offer to put me on the radio here in Dallas. But even then, financially, I didn't think we could swing it. And so a week later, they called back a second time and said, "Hey, we really think God wants you to do this. We'd love for you to start on our station. We'll give you a rate that's half of what we would normally charge if you'll give it a try." And so that's what we did, and I've been amazed to see how God has grown this ministry. As I said, even to be on the radio here in Dallas was amazing, but we have since added other cities and other stations, and it's been remarkable to watch. What's fun about it is I know I didn't force it to happen. I'm just trying to keep up with what the Lord is doing through this ministry.
Is A Better Way operating as a separate ministry from Sunnyvale First Baptist or in conjunction?
It is a separate ministry from the church. We set it up that way because we didn't want the church to incur any of the cost that radio requires, particularly for some of the broadcasting that we have outside of the city of Dallas. So the church contributes to the ministry, but it is a separate ministry from the church.
Of course, the program can be heard here on Bot Radio Network in Memphis on AM 640 and FM 100.7 every Sunday morning at 8:30. And we do invite our listeners to please tune in to Dr. Adam Dooley for A Better Way Radio. You'll definitely be encouraged to find more insight into God's Word as a new addition to our fine lineup of Bible teachers. We're very excited to welcome you, Adam, to the Memphis market.
Well, I appreciate that. We're grateful for the opportunity to be on there. And as I stated earlier, it's just personally gratifying to me to try to give back to a city that we have grown to love. Hopefully some of our friends there and people who cared for us will benefit from the program, as well as others that we've never met.
What's been some of the feedback that you've received so far from listeners?
You know, that's another thing that amazes me. We get such encouraging feedback. We are in the midst of a matching campaign for the month of October. We had a gift of $75,000 that will match any donations up to $75,000. We're well over halfway toward our goal already, and it's just encouraging to see how people are supporting our efforts. As I said, we're just trying to keep up with what God is doing. We really have more opportunities than we can fund at this point. And I just see that as evidence that, this is God's will, and we're going to keep marching in the direction that He seems to lead us in.
Dr. Adam Dooley, thank you so much for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom. Thanks for being one of our new Bible teachers here on Bot Radio Network in Memphis. A Better Way Radio, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. We invite our listeners to listen. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Well, friends, if you want more information about the ministry of A Better Way Radio, I encourage you to go to the website, adamdooley.org, and there's some great resource information there. You can also listen to some of Adam's messages. Please go to the website, adamdooley.org. If you would like to contact the church or the ministry, the number is 972-226-7105, 972-226-7105. That's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.